And welcome to another edition of the Tom Green Podcast. Like I had said a couple of months ago, I was going a little more Detroit-centric with the show, but every now and again I do like to pull into the national spectrum. And this week, as the Major League Baseball postseason has begun, yours truly is getting back into the national swing of things. So with that all said, I bring in a friend of mine that we met at Tigers Angels, I believe it was, last season, as she was there to see Mike Trout, I believe. Correct me if I'm wrong there. She is Erica Jones. She is from Blez Sports Cards, formerly of KEZI. We talked with Cam Derby, of course, a couple of weeks ago, and that's how Erica and I got reconnected. Erica Jones, from Las Vegas, Nevada. Welcome to the show, Erica.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. We definitely are going to be talking about more national stuff this week, but I am a Detroit girl, so we're still hitting home a little bit there, right?
Exactly. Definitely glad to have you on the show. Glad to be reconnected and whatnot. So tell me a little bit about Blez Sports Cards, so what you're working for right now.
Yeah, so the primary thing that Blez does is actually sports card breaking, where it's essentially you buy into a break of a box of sports cards. So what we do is, instead of buying an entire box of sports cards that can be really expensive, at Blez you have the opportunity to buy one specific team. So you could buy the Angels or the Mariners, and then you're chasing only like Trout and Otani or Julio or something like that. So you get to focus, more so on players you want to be chasing. It's really for sports card collectors, and sports cards the past few years, really since the pandemic, became super, super mainstream. A lot of people got into it. And now with Fanatics taking over the industry, I don't know if you knew about that. Don't need to really get into it, but it's been a whole big thing. So that's been really cool. They do live streaming like 18 hours a day, 7 days a week. But I actually don't do as much on the sports card end of things. I run their social media, so I do a lot of content creation, that kind of stuff. Really similar to the kind of content that I do on my own, more tailored towards their brand. So it's been really good.
Absolutely, and I know you do a lot of social media stuff, especially TikToks and IG Reels about MLB stuff, and I'm sure that's been a lot of fun for you the past this past season.
Yeah, it's been really fun. Baseball is definitely my passion. What's crazy is you mentioned I live in Las Vegas, and before Vegas, I was living in Oregon. So this is the first time in my life I've been out west, and it is crazy how much being on Pacific time has impacted my game schedule, because my team is the Red Sox, even though I'm from Detroit. So keeping up with games on, you know, the East Coast, and it'd be the same thing for the Tigers on Eastern time. Yeah. It is so hard. You don't realize, like, when they normally play at 7 p.m., for me, that's 4 p.m. So I'm still, you know, kind of in the middle of my day, finishing up with work. I don't think I considered how hard it was going to be, but it's really, really been a big adjustment and a lot harder for me, honestly, to keep up with the teams and really watch all 162 games the way I used to. Even when I was at school in Miami, I was still on Eastern time, so it was no problem. But it's been an adjustment for sure.
Yeah, and I remember I have a half brother and sister and niece and nephew, and two nephews and one niece that live out in Reseda, California, and then that was around the time the All-Star game was going on, and I thought to my years ago, I was out there, and I thought to myself, geez, how are these teams playing so early? Oh, that's right, I'm on Pacific time, because I'm used to the East Coast time. And what's funny is, of course, me being a Tigers fan and partial Cubs fan, whenever I would think of Chicago time, my brain would try and just shift to Chicago time instead of Eastern time, where I would say, oh, yeah, it's at 1:20, and then 1:20 Eastern. Oh, that's right, Chicago time, another hour.
Yeah, definitely. So not as bad when you're dealing with Central versus Eastern time, but Eastern to Pacific, the 3 hours, I mean, it's massive. It's like, that's like the whole game, right?
Exactly. And I remember reading a Dodgers book, I forget exactly when, a few years ago, but it was talking about how Clayton Kershaw would be watching the East Coast games as he was preparing for a Dodgers home game, and it's like, perspective. Holy cow.
It's crazy. Yeah.
So, moving towards this MLB playoff picture, of course, the last week has been pretty fun with the Marlins, Marlins, Diamondbacks, and Cubs being in the race. The Cubs absolutely collapsing. I'm not entirely sure exactly what happened there, but the Marlins playing well enough to get into the playoffs. Tell me your perspective about this this last week in the AL and NL races.
Yeah, the Marlins, I mean, it's definitely so exciting. It's crazy. The last full season that they made the playoffs, I didn't realize, was 2003. And that's when they won the World Series with Miggy, of course. I'm sure we'll get into that a little bit more.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, it is so crazy that it's been that long. Of course, they did make a playoff run in 2020, but that wasn't the normal format. So there was, right. You know, over half the teams made the playoffs that year. Not to discredit it, but very different. It's really been cool to see. I actually have a coworker from South Florida, and he's a diehard Marlins fan. And he's like, I've been waiting for this my whole life. So that it's cool. I think the thing that I'm most excited about this year in the postseason, you talk about teams like the Marlins, the Diamondbacks. A big one that I want to touch on is the Orioles. It's different. The narrative is just so different. Of course, we still have our powerhouse teams like the Braves and the Dodgers and the Astros, of course. But having these smaller market teams that we're not seeing every year really adds so much excitement to the narrative and makes it, I just think, so much more intriguing to baseball fans from everywhere. And then, you know, not having teams like the Red Sox, Yankees, Cardinals, teams that you're usually seeing year after year, it really is just switching everything up. So it's a very different look in the postseason this year, and I'm excited about it.
Yeah, I remember writing my column to start the year with the Orioles and I had the Orioles finishing in fourth place, I believe, or maybe I didn't have them finishing in fourth place, but I had them over 500, and I'm like, I can't discredit what Brandon Hyde has done, and it was hard for me to pick the Red Sox to have finished under 500 how I had it. But the AL East obviously finished a little bit different than that, with everybody finishing over 500. But it turned out to, it panned out to where the Red Sox and Yankees are amongst the sellers, and the Orioles and the Rays, and even the Blue Jays, and they have been a big question mark, finished in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, you know, Alek Manoah being one of the biggest storylines with the Blue Jays this year, everything. I mean, holy. What happened with him was just absolutely crazy. I hope he's doing okay. I don't really think anyone quite knows what he's up to. Kind of disappeared a little bit, but right. Yeah, I mean, it's been crazy, but it's great how they like persevered, were able to make the postseason. You know, speaking of perseverance, the Texas Rangers, I think they,
yes.
I mean, wow, that, like, you know, what happened with DeGrom and the fact that they were still able to have the season that they did, and then even Scherzer also now, like, you know, getting injured. I mean, it's crazy how these teams are really able to come out on the other end. And not to talk bad about the Yankees, even though I am a Red Sox fan, so we have to a little bit. You know, it's so funny. I know, like, Aaron Boone loves to use injuries as an excuse in the postseason. Even last year, he's like, oh, you know, when they got swept by the Astros, he's like, you know, we have so many guys injured. That's like the first thing he wants to say to the media. And it's like, okay, you have a lot of guys injured. Well, the Texas Rangers lost DeGrom at the beginning of the season. Then Scherzer gets injured, and they're still able to do it. So I think that's really what makes a championship caliber team, is being able to overcome those obstacles and those injuries. And
yep.
Can't use them as an excuse, because there's nothing you can do.
Right, next man up mentality, which, as a little aside, I'm in a fantasy baseball league here in the local market where I'm at, and one of the teams was actually named a total DeGromination until, of course, DeGrom got hurt, and the guy changed his name to Walking Wounded instead of total DeGromination. But that's another thing about perseverance, is that both the Rangers and the Blue Jays, of course, for different reasons. The Blue Jays mainly just struggling for God knows what reason, and the Rangers having injuries. Both slid big time towards the postseason, and then both picked up steam at the right time, right at the end, to where both made the playoffs, to where you have, and I guess we can start with this series, you have the Blue Jays and the Twins, of course, the 3-6 seeds. The Twins being someone had to win the AL Central against the Blue Jays, having slid, but getting into the playoffs at the right time. Yeah, yes, she's showing her board here for the playoffs.
I got the magnetic board. Yeah, it's funny you say that, right? It's like looking at this board, it's like, all right, someone doesn't fit, the Twins. But like you right. said, someone has to win the division. So
too bad it wasn't the Detroit Tigers, but somebody should be over 500 to win the division one.
Yeah, that's for sure. I mean, yeah, and of course that's just the way that the playoff format is, but it's just crazy how you can have so many teams with better records than the Twins who don't make the playoffs, but one division winner is always going to get in. So it's interesting. But I think the other part that's really interesting about that is when you go into the first round of the playoffs, so the wild card round, which starts tomorrow, of course, in a 3-game series, any team can win, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, and that's the crazy thing about baseball. You'll have times where, you know, the A's could sweep the Dodgers in a 3-game series, right? Obviously, the A's aren't in the playoffs, but just hypothetically speaking, right. Where when you get to a 7-game series, I would say more often than not, the better team is going to end up winning in 7 games. But right. when you play a quick 3-game series, the better team isn't always going to win.
Exactly. And what I like about the wild card series is that they got rid of just the wild card game, because if you think about it, you play a 162 game season, and let's say, hypothetically speaking, Chris Sale has a bad outing. Oops, right. The Red Sox are no longer in the playoffs because of one bad outing. So now you have a 3-game series to where something like that could be corrected in two more games.
Yeah, exactly. So even though it's still like, it might not always be the best team that wins, it's still definitely a lot better of a sample size and more fair, for lack of a better word, than playing one game. Because I completely right. agree with you. To play a 162-game season and then have a one-game winner-take-all is just ridiculous.
Exactly. So let's dive into it. We'll start with the AL bracket. Blue Jays and Twins, we pretty much have named this Someone's Gotta Win series. Who you got?
Oh, it's so hard. I feel like I'm like looking down. Like I said, these 3-game series, the Blue Jays, I feel like, are the obvious choice, just because, I don't know, they still give you more of a kind of powerful feel, I would say, than the Twins do. Not too impressed with much of anything the Twins have going on. If I was putting money on it, I'd go with the Blue Jays. Of course, I'm not. But yeah, I'm gonna go with Toronto on that one.
You're
how
gonna
about
go
you?
With Toronto on that one. From how I analyzed it, it was pretty quick work. I mean, like I said with the Twins, someone's got to win the Central. But I honestly think the Blue Jays are a bigger question mark, because those last couple of weeks towards the end of the season, everybody was so low on the Blue Jays, whereas somebody had to win the Central, and the Twins stepped up and won the Central. They really, you could say the Guardians blew it, you could say Detroit blew it, but Detroit really, there was no expectation to win the division in Detroit. So I say the Twins here are at home and are saying, you know what, we're in. Everybody's picking the Blue Jays to win. Give me the Twins in three. It's at Target
right.
Field.
Okay. I like that take. I like it. And I will say, even if I'm, picking the Blue Jays, I don't even know. I don't know. I haven't looked at the odds, but do you know if the Twins are favored or if the Blue Jays?
Not offhand, but I would think the Blue Jays are probably a minus, I would think like a minus 125-ish
favorite. Yeah, I would assume, I would guess that they're a small favorite, even though the series is in Minnesota, but I love an underdog, so I can say that I think it's likely that the Blue Jays are going to win, but I would love to see the Twins win. I love those Cinderella stories.
Sure, and just offhand looking at it, game one, the Twins are a -110. So that tells you it's pretty evenly spread between these two, because 110 is, of course, your standard favorite.
Yeah.
So moving to Texas and Tampa. One, a team that has quite experience in the playoffs and a team that has definitely ridden the ups and downs to get here.
Yeah. I like Texas in this one. I think that the season Texas has had has just been so crazy. I remember when Texas first signed DeGrom and Eovaldi also, I you know, they were spending all this money. And I just remember thinking to myself, like, wow, Texas is really spending all this money to secure third place in their division. Like, I thought they had no chance at this division. I was like, it's so clearly going to be, you know, a battle between the Astros and the Mariners. And then Texas is just going to be third. Like, they can spend all the money they want, but like, they're just going to be stuck with that. And then down to game 162, they were fighting for first place in the division. And I mean, of course it didn't work out that way, but okay. A one game difference. I'm not going to take anything away from them.
Right.
You know, I think they have so much talent. I really think that they have what it takes to make it through at least this first round. And Tampa, gosh, they've been put through the ringer this season. They've definitely lost some talent. We don't obviously need to get into the whole Wander thing, but that's
if you know, you know.
Yeah. Definitely. And then, you know, with the rotation, they've had some injuries. So they're always a good team. Of course, they had their insane historic start to this season when they won, what, 14 games in a row? 12, 14, I don't know. A lot of games in a row. They won.
Which still, they did not beat the 84 Tigers start, by the way.
Nope. So, yeah, honestly, kind of a coin flip, I feel like. But I like Texas.
You like Texas? I think Bochy, of course, is the more experienced manager in this situation, but I think Tampa is the more experienced team, and because it is in Tampa, I actually have Tampa sweeping this series in two.
Ooh, okay.
It's a bit of a bold take, but I think that with the injuries that Texas has dealt with, these teams, when they persevere and get to the playoffs, there's always a point where they tend to stumble, and I think this is the point where Texas stumbles and Tampa advances to face the division rival, the Baltimore Orioles. So we'll get to further predictions there in a minute. But we'll go to Milwaukee and Arizona. I did not expect Arizona to be the last wild card. Did you?
No, I don't think I did. Well, maybe not coming down to the wire, but they definitely. Sorry, let me put this on Do Not Disturb. I don't know.
She got a text.
No, coming down to the wire, definitely not. I would have never even expected them to make the playoffs. They had an insanely hot start to the season, but, you know, that was 6 months ago now.
I had Corbin Carroll on my fantasy team for a couple of months there, May and June, which everybody, the world got to know about him then.
Yeah, definitely. He's become very popular, like what he's doing, you know, breaking records this year. Milwaukee, though, they got hot when they needed to. I mean, the Central just was weird this year. Not, you know, we want to keep this focused on the postseason. I just go off on so many tangents when I'm talking about baseball.
Oh, that's totally fine.
I could talk about, like, the Cardinals disaster for hours. I'm sure that
At least Wainwright got his 200th win.
Right? Oh, my. And I was worried about that. I can't even lie. That was looking scary for a minute. He did not. I don't think he had the final season he was hoping for as far as the numbers.
God, no, he did not.
Yeah, no, but I mean, great guy, exciting country music career ahead of him. It seems like. But I mean, yeah, I think like just whenever I think of the Central, that's the biggest thing. I'm like, wow, I would have bet anything that the Cardinals would be that team, and it's the Brewers. Brewers, Diamondbacks, again, this is one I'm like, I really think it's such a coin flip. No, gosh. Should I flip a coin out to give you my pick?
Yeah, flip a coin on the air. Here we go. She's going to flip the coin.
No, I'm like, I don't know. So hard. I don't know. I'm going to go with the Diamondbacks on this one.
You're going to go with the Diamondbacks. I'm going to go with the experience. I think the Brewers sweep this series. Okay. I think what the underlying thing, Devin Williams is, if he is vintage Devin Williams, I think that lineup doesn't really have much of a chance in the ninth inning. But I mean, the Brewers have been inconsistent at the plate towards the end of the season, and so that could cost them. But I think at home, especially one of my favorite broadcasters, Bob Uecker, being on the mic for the Brewers. Win for Uke. Give me the Brewers in two.
Okay. All right.
So last series, we've gone contrary in every series, but that's okay. Marlins and Phillies.
Marlins and Phillies. I gotta go with the Phillies. I wish, like, my heart likes the Marlins, but my head likes the Phillies. I mean, oh, the postseason run they had last year was crazy. That was so exciting to see. I was hoping maybe they could pull off the whole thing. No, I don't know. These are division rivals. I would have to look at their head-to-head record this season. I'm not sure what it is, but I don't know. I like the Phillies. I just think top to bottom, the roster has more depth and talent, I would say. I got to go with them.
Yeah, in this series, as you know, I have a myriad of friends in the sports media, and I was hoping to get Jess Blaylock from the Marlins to come on the show with us. Things couldn't work out this time, but happy that her team made the playoffs, but unfortunately, I think reality is going to set in, and plus, I got to go with the experienced team in this one. I'm taking Phillies in three.
Finally.
I got to take Phillies in three. And we agree, finally. And I just think that the experience is going to win out in this case. I think maybe Lizardo might steal game one or two, but I think the Phillies show up in game three, especially because this is at Citizens Bank Park. Give me another division rivalry with the Phillies and the Braves for the National League Division Series. So seeing as we're contrarian with most of the board, I guess we'll talk about the Orioles and the Astros a little bit. Tell me about these two teams. Which one has the better chance of making the run?
I'm so high on the Orioles, right? As soon as the Red Sox were out of the picture, which in reality was probably like 3 months ago, I was like, all right, Orioles going all the way. Like I said, I love an underdog. I love a Cinderella story. And the Orioles are just such a perfect example of what a rebuild should look like. You might want to plug your ears for this one, but you know, you have a team like the Tigers that they've been in a rebuild for 10 years now. Okay. And it's like
way too long.
Way too long. You know, hopefully they can get things figured out now that they have Miggy's contract off their payroll. Maybe that'll be able to help a little bit, but the Orioles, just the way they did it, you know, they got a couple super, super high picks. I love what they've done. The fact that they won over 100 games this year is just insane. I didn't even realize. I obviously knew they were having a great season. I knew they were fighting with Tampa for the division. And then all of a sudden, I'm just like on Instagram the other day and I see like Orioles 100th win. I'm like, what? Like, they are that good. It's crazy. I love them. Young, exciting, talented. Hypothetically, if it's Astros Orioles, like I like the Orioles. I'm so high on them.
Sure. And the Orioles, it's a fun story to watch because like you had said, they went through the rebuild the right way. And thankfully now that Al Avila is no longer the Detroit Tigers general manager, I think Scott Harris has done a decent job, unlike what some people in Detroit might think. I think Scott Harris has done a decent job, and it goes in waves and it goes in steps, and Detroit took the right step this year. But that said, I think experience, I had a teacher at Saginaw Valley State University. His name was Dave Schneider, and one of the things that he said in my communication class was that experience is the best teacher. And I think in this case, experience wins out. And I think Houston has the better chance at making the World Series. And in fact, in my bracket, I had them making the World Series in seven games over, surprise, Tampa. Because I think that the Orioles, despite what they have done, I think the dose of reality hits because that young team does not have that playoff experience. And I think that reality wave hits, and I think that Tampa would beat them in five games if we were to pick. But you have 2014, the last time the Orioles made the playoffs, where they were a young team then, and they faced an experienced Tiger team, and guess what they did? They swept them. So I could be very much wrong as much as I could be right. So I got the Astros actually advancing the World Series. You have the Orioles as the better chance. Who would you have in the World Series, respectively, from the American League?
I would love, 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 love to see the Orioles again. It's, I don't know, but when it comes to that, it is hard to say that the Orioles, who haven't been in the playoffs in almost a decade, are just gonna be able to power through and beat the defending champions. As much as I love the idea of it, I think it's a little bit unrealistic. So if I'm being real and honest, Houston probably does have a better chance, as much as I would like for it to be Baltimore.
Right.
If I gotta pick between those two, assuming that they, let's say it were to be Orioles versus Astros in the championship series, even though you don't even think the Orioles will make it that far. Regardless, I think it's going to be hard for any team to beat Houston in the five-game series, whether it's Texas, Baltimore, or Tampa.
Yeah, experience just trumps, and I got to go with Houston there. So now shifting to the National League, which team, well, of course, we have the Dodgers and the Braves as well. Which team has the shot at, well, I guess we'll ask like this. Who do you got in the World Series from the National League?
Both teams are so good. It's insane. The Braves, the Dodgers, they're both amazing. Mm-hmm. Incredible teams. It's hard for me to see any other two teams in the championship series. Do you have them for the championship series?
Yeah, I've got the Dodgers sweeping Milwaukee, and I have Atlanta in four over Philly.
Okay. It's because, you know, here with LA versus Atlanta, we can't play the experience card. Both teams have all the experience, depth, talent. Like, there's not, of course, you know, we could sit here and like really analyze and pick at it, but just, you know, surface level, there's not one team that's really better than the other. Would you agree with that?
No, both are quite evenly matched. I have the prospective series going six, but the only because I think that I have Atlanta advancing. I think that Atlanta would steal game six in Los Angeles, but LA could just as easily win game six and seven if it went to that prospective series.
Yeah. So, you know, for a World Series matchup, I wouldn't be surprised Houston, LA. I wouldn't be surprised Houston, Atlanta. I think literally anything else might surprise me. Anything else from the American League? I mean, who knows? Maybe it could be Twins Phillies. Like, what the heck? But yeah, I feel like it's most likely we're going to be seeing Houston again versus Atlanta or LA. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Give me Atlanta. Best record in baseball this year. You know, what Acuna's done has just been insane. They're an exciting team. They have an amazing fan base, and, you know, I'm pretty harsh on fan bases, but they really, you know, Dodgers fans like to show up in the third inning, bad traffic in LA. I don't know. Atlanta has it all. It's such an exciting baseball city, you know, the new ballpark, and just seeing Atlanta. I talk about the Orioles being a perfect example of a rebuild. Atlanta's a perfect example of a team that lost their franchise player in Freddie Freeman and still it managed to be the best team in baseball. And of course I say that being a salty Red Sox fan, because we lost our franchise player and completely collapsed. But I mean, yeah, that's what you got to do. They still maintained, they filled the holes they needed to, and look where they are now. Perfect example for that. Really, I think they set such a gold standard for that. I mean, yeah, it's an exciting team. It still has kind of a young feel to me, even though they do have a lot of experience. They're so great. I still get a young, exciting feel. And Acuña is still very young. You know, Spencer Strider's very young. Austin Riley's, 26 now? They're exciting. And they have so much, I don't even know, firepower. They're just a fun team.
Yeah, the Braves, in fact, we'll kind of just transition into the World Series pick as well. The Braves are young. The Braves are talented. The Braves had, and what should be actually sort of scary to the rest of the postseason is that the Braves won the World Series two seasons ago without Ronald Acuña Jr. Now they are the number one seed, and they have Ronald Acuña Jr. Yeah. So that tells me they're going to beat Philly in four. They're going to beat the Dodgers in six. They're going to beat Houston in six. They're going to win the World Series because of that young core with Ronald Acuña Jr., and the sky's the limit for this team. That's crazy about this. The sky's the limit.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I think that's definitely a favorable pick, having them going all the way. Objectively, they're the best team in baseball this year, right? They won the most games. There's nothing stopping them. Like you said, sky's definitely the limit for that team, and I'm super excited to see what they can accomplish.
Absolutely. So, thankfully for, well, maybe, I shouldn't say thankfully, but the Zoom meeting time says that the show's got to wrap up in just a little bit. So, it's been great to have you on the show. I'll ask the famed final question. Is there anything else you have to add to this wonderful Tom Green podcast?
Yes, I have a question for you. Super quickly, you have 60 seconds?
Just about.
Need to hear about your experience being at Miggy's final weekend. I know you weren't at the very last game, but you were at one of them. Just quickly.
Sure. That was great. I mean, it was a sellout. The first time we've seen a sellout at Comerica Park since 2014. The ballpark was rocking. I mean, I got to chat with Lance Parrish for a hot second. I got to see Willie Horton. I mean, the park was packed. It was just an experience never to forget. And Miggy is going to be someone we will definitely miss. And I was glad to be there. I mean, it was a lot of fun. It was one of those times that you just never going to forget. And I'm glad that I was there for sure.
I'm glad you got the opportunity. I'm glad I got to see some pictures, and yeah, just you'll never forget that. That's for sure.
Absolutely. She is Erica Jones, and this has been the Tom Green Podcast.